Perek Yud Gimel, Mishnah Bet. All right, so we are continuing on our exploration of Nige Botim. And remember that we had the din in the Perek before about Oil Rasha, Oil Shechina, the guy who tore out his Tosfos in from one side of the daf. Anyway, so now the question is, there is a difference between getting rid of this stone. There's two reasons why you might need to get rid of the stone that has the nega. One reason would be because you are doing the chalitza and the kitza. And that would be if it's after Hezkel. But you're not doing the titza because you had not yet done chalitza. And there is never a titza unless you first did the remove the chalitza. Which means that we need to talk about two different situations. If you're the neighbor of someone who is doing chalitza kitza v'ticha, or if you're a neighbor of somebody who has to tear down his whole house, which we haven't discussed yet. Therefore, comes along our Halakha Mishnah to tell us that ha'evan shebizavit, where you've got a cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone over here does not mean the evan shebizavit of your own house. That was the machlokas, remember, of the three shitas, does the Rebbe Eliezer, it has to come around the side. That's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about the cornerstone in the sense of multiple dwellings. So what they would do is they would have, usually, when you're going to be having a row houses, so usually you would have your own smaller stones that build up your own personal wall. You could take out all of those stones, and the other house would still have its own row of stones that was its own inside wall. However, if there was a lower level on which all of these were built, those were called a Even Shebizavit, because at the corner, they would take a cornerstone, which still has that shame. We still use that word cornerstone. We make a big deal about the cornerstone of a building, even though it doesn't nowadays really, it's not a meaningful concept, but it remained meaningful. I don't know if it still is, but I mean, is it? Does anybody know? Do they make these ceremonies and they put things into the cornerstones of buildings? Yeah, okay. So then this is where it comes from. There used to be a very large stone that was built on the bottom that would provide for the upper layers of these smaller stones. And that would go right through both homes. So that's the question. So let's say if you had a nega on an actual cornerstone, on an Evan Shebizavit, so when you do the chalitza, which was the first stage that comes only after a hezger, so there you have to take out the entire cornerstone, even if it goes straight through to the other guy's house. And it's going to kill him. But, you know, that was the Oil Rasha, Oil Shechina. But when you're doing netitza, over there, you can cut the stone in half. You do not have to rip out the whole stone. So surprisingly and counterintuitively, the netitza, which is much more chamur because it's destroying your entire home, over there, you're allowed to cut the cornerstone off so that the neighbor is not affected by the netitza. But when it comes to the chalitza, which is less chamur, over there he is. So bismanchu choletz et kulo, but bismanchu notates, because you'll remember that over there it used the word vichiltsu, which is two people. It means he and his neighbor. But bismanchu notates et shelo, umeniach et shel chavero. However, when it comes to the titza, which you would have thought is more chomer, over there it says specifically loshen yochit, because it says vinatatz et habayit avanav its singular, etzav singular, and so on. Kolafar habayit singular. So the point over there is that the Torah is gufat coming out of its way to tell you, look, if we're dealing with the idea of complete and total disaster, tearing the whole house down, then it's only a personal thing, and you do that at shalom, but you can be meniach et shalv chavero by removing the part of the chaver, even if that would require cutting the stone in half. Which is strange, points out the Mishnah, because nimtza chomer b'chalitza mibinatitza, that we're going to be actually more machmer to affect the neighbor because of the pasuk with the chalitza, which is the lesser chumra, than we would on the netitza, which is the disastrous, greatest chumra of what could happen to a house. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, look, it's not so posh. Because if you remember, you have a bayit that's banui rosh upatim. Rosh upatim is a word that the Oruch describes. Rosh upatim means that there's a underlying row that is very large, and that would go through actually two homes, and then the next layers are called patin, like petitin. They're smaller pieces, and they go on top of the rosh. So we call like an Evan Harosha. The Evan Harosha is like the most chosh of a thing of it. The rosh is the what we're using over here as the sense of an entire row of stones that are much heavier and will go through the entire structure through to the other guy's house. And then on top of that, you have rosh, rows of patim. So then it depends if the nega appears on the rosh. So then you have to take out even benetitza. You have to rip out everything. And that is what we said before. He disagrees, therefore, with the Tanakhama. If the nega was only on the patin, where over there they're small, like building blocks that we have today, except they're made out of stone. So then you only have to take out the nega that's on your side of the rosh, and you can leave the neighbor's pat, which is on the same level as yours, but it's a different stone, you can leave it and you don't have to take it off. So therefore, he says, this halacha is not cut and dried, this din, that necessarily the shachin is not going to suffer. He might, actually. Now, this leads us to another question. What if you've got a multi-level apartment building and there's a nega on one floor? So now, I mean, geez, that floor is supporting the floor above it. I mean, so what happens? If you have to rip down your house, does that necessarily mean that you're going to be, if you're on the bottom floor, you're ripping down your house, so then that means basically you've got to rip down the entire apartment building. So what's the din? It is like this. Bayit shenir abo nega. This is Negayim, Perek, Yud Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. Bayit shenir abo nega. And there was an aliyah al gabav. There's another story that does not have a nega. So what's the din? The din is that the korot, which are the building beams above the first story that are supporting the stories above it, those beams are viewed as part of the upper story, not part of the lower story. And because of that, they are not part of the netitza. So what you could do is you could bring these metal beams, which is often done when a house is moved or where you're trying to rebuild a lower story. You build these metal beams, you hoist up the beams that are the horizontal beams of the upper stories, you support them until you rebuild your lower story properly. What about the other way around? What about if the nega appeared in a second story or in one of the upper stories near Abba Aliyah? So then we consider the korot that is supporting that story to be part of the lower story, because the point is that the korot are not clearly part of the house with the nega in either case. And therefore, if they're not defined as part of that house, we define them as being out of that house. And we can be shemich on that to be able to be matzil the other story. But suppose there's no second story. And now the guy says, well, I mean, you don't want to ruin my roof, do you? I mean, we'll support the roof with the korot, and I'll rebuild just the inside, right? No. If lo hayta aliyah al gabav, if there's no other home to which we can attribute these korot, so then everything goes. As we said, avanav, etzav, va'afaro, nitatzin imo, including the korot, because they are part of etzav, and there's no possible way to assign them to another non-existent story. So it's all part of that house. But if you've got very often, you know, what you do is when you've got extra tiles, I think, Alon, I think I noticed on your roof, you've got some of this stuff, you've got loose tiles. So oftentimes, put loose tiles on a roof, And that sort of protects, gives additional protection from moisture and stuff like that. But it's not made as part of the roof. So if you have malbinim, which means they're just loose floor tiles, or suppose you've got sorgim, you've got these removable soragim. A soragim is like a metal lattice that you put over a window, and those things are removable. So anything that is removable is not considered to be part of the house, and therefore it's matzil. You have a right to save these things. And you can save the loose tiles, and you can save the soragim of your windows, and everything would be fine. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, let me just make one thing clear. A malbein is not necessarily what you think it is, because that word, malbein, has different usages and common usages. The malbein we're referring to is a tile. There's another thing that's referred to as a malbein, which is a frame, okay? They used to, what they do is they would build like a wooden frame to put over the edge of the roof in order to protect the lower area from moisture getting in between the stones. So they build like a wooden frame. Now, that malbein is definitely part of the house. That's not considered to be an unattached additional soreg or something. And that is nitatz ima. Now, when we're talking about everything, we said everything, every last stone, every piece of wood, every piece of mortar, but how much of that, which needs to be removed to a makom tameh, which means that it's metameh. So it's metameh as if it's part of a bayit hamenukah. What is the shiur that is metameh? Is it any little bit? Avanav, etzav, va'afaro are metamim, other things by the size of a kezias only. Why is that? Because we learn out, remember, tzoras from Miriam. Al natihi kamet. So that means we also understand that the tzorat is compared to tumas meis. Just like tumas meis is metame, and meis is metame bekezayita meis, so too is the tumas tzoras of a bayit that's been broken up into pieces. These are, so to speak, the kezayit hamet from the mitzorah in this house. So it needs to be a shir of a kezayis. Rabbi Elazar Chasmomer, doesn't matter what size it is, if it is a whole thing. So in other words, if, because that's also true about a mace. If you have an Aver Sholem, we spoke about this in Oalot, of an embryo and so on. So even if it's less than Kezias, it's going to be Metame as long as it's Sholem. If it's a broken piece, if Rabbi Elazar Chasma agrees, but if it's an entire Birya Bifnei Atzma, then it would be Metame Bikol Shehu.